The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the topic now is the third factor of awakening, the effort factor of awakening, or the effort limb. The word anga can mean limb or part, and so it's a part of the whole, and so the seven limbs of awakening, the seven factors of awakening, parts of awakening, can be seen as part of seven different qualities or practices or states of one whole way of being. And one of those ways of being is to engage, to make efforts to do things. So it's not just a passivity of just how we are, but there's also an engagement in our practice and in our world. And the word virya, that's V-I-R-A-Y-A, V-I-R-A-Y-A, comes from the word hero, and so a kind of heroic effort. But all these words like effort and heroic effort can lend itself to being exhausted as soon as you hear them. Like, oh no, I have to do all this work now, and tiring work. Some translators translate this word for effort in the effort factor of awakening as endeavor. And I don't know if some of us, if the word endeavoring has a little bit more nicer feeling than the word effort. We endeavor to do something. It's what we are engaged in trying to do. To make it really maybe feeling closer in and more, less the energetics of effort, I relate this right effort with the word choice, that it's the choices we make as we practice and as we live our life. And choice, you know, a choice doesn't necessarily imply that there's a lot of effort or strain or work, a lot of work. It's just a choice, the choice in what we're going to endeavor in. And this, this definition or description of the effort factor of awakening is the same description as the effort factor of the Eightfold Path. And so if you take it as endeavoring, the Buddha is teaching us what in this wonderful, precious life that we have, what endeavors are worthwhile to do? You know, what should we do with our life? What endeavors? And rather than giving an answer for a particular project, you know, particular work to do, a career to do, or something, the answer is has to do with the consequences of what we do, of how we do it. And so those things that lead to what is skillful or wholesome, those things choose those things. Those things that lead to what's unskillful, to what's unwholesome, don't do those things. Don't choose those things to do. And what's most skillful in the teachings of the Buddha are those things that we're avoiding things that cause suffering. And suffering comes along with a feeling of being caught or trapped or constricted or clinging to something, craving. The world's gotten smaller, narrower. And we choose to do those things that are skillful, which is those things that lead away from suffering, lead to a kind of wonderful happiness and peace that goes along with feelings of freedom, of openness, of tranquility, of goodness, of happiness. And so it isn't just any old happiness that we're looking for, because some happiness is like the happiness of winning the lottery, is not really a deep, nourishing kind of wellspring of goodness, of warmth, of peace, of real intimacy with the warmth and juiciness of life. It's more of a surface joy and more an exuberance and promise of all kinds of exciting things. And they say that most people who win big lotteries a year later are less happy than they were before they won it. So what is it that's lasting happiness? What is it that lives lasting well-being? And so begin having a sense of what that is, not in the big picture, way in the future, but to recognize this in ourselves, to recognize moment by moment that if I'm driving my car and there's a light up ahead that's green, but I don't know if I'll make it, and then get contracted and focused and tight and I better get it. I'll be late for my appointment. My life will, be so much more difficult if I don't make that green light. And then we're kind of, getting contracted and tight. And the feeling in the body and the mind and the heart, maybe it's subtle, but is not a very good one. It's not a nourishing one. It's not one that inculcates goodness or warmth or peace or love or care for others. But another choice in driving would be, I see the light up there. It's green right now, but probably I can't reach it. I'm not sure. Rather than racing to see if I can get it, what if I actually, there's no one behind me right at the moment. What if I actually go a little bit slower and just kind of take it easy and give the light a chance to turn red? Then I can kind of be connected to myself in a different kind of way, and I can kind of relax a little bit, be more open, I can be more receptive to the traffic around me and to the environment and not so narrowly focused. And it turns red and you stop and you sit there, and it turns out then you're kind of quite contented. You did a nice thing for yourself. And so this, some of you might think this example is ridiculous, but we have 10,000 of these small little choices that we make throughout the day. And to begin endeavoring the right effort is to make wise choices around these 10,000 little things we do throughout the day, including the big choices we make, the big things we do. And this is how we bring mindfulness into daily life, is we bring mindfulness to all the what we're doing, and we have not just aware of what we're doing, we're aware of the choices we make as we do them. And we're aware of the options we have of which direction we go, in the skillful or the unskillful. And so the investigation factor of awakening, the factor of awakening that sees clearly and sees distinctions, includes seeing this distinction between what is healthy and unhealthy, skillful and unskillful, beneficial and not beneficial, leading to entrapment or leading to freedom. And so right effort is to, and the effort factor of awakening is that factor of awakening that's constantly turning towards the healthy choice. But not because it's a lot of work. In fact, as we get the hang of it, it feels the opposite. That's where the least work is. In some ways, choosing the unskillful thing, if you're lazy or if you're kind of, it's easier just to go along with impulses, it can feel like it's the easy way. But generally, the consequences require much more work later, much more repair and stress and all that. Choose the healthy approach, the skillful, and it tends to be just, the consequences tend to be good in the future, and no repairs needed, you don't have to de-stress afterwards. recover from it. And so getting the habit and the ongoingness of being present and making these wise choices to what's skillful and beneficial tends to start creating a life which has less and less stress in it. Less and less needing to recover from the stress, the tensions of the life. And so there's more energy, there's more vitality for this life of ours than if we choose the unskillful repeatedly. And so this effort factor of awakening is certainly the individual practices and choices we make along this line, but it's more of a state or a generalized attitude or orientation for how we live, where we're just naturally oriented towards the skillful, naturally oriented towards these choices which lead to our betterment, to ease, to peace, to ongoing well-being. And there's a kind of a momentum in that direction, there's a kind of a strength to that, that follows in the wake of the second factor of awakening becoming strong, this really seeing clearly. So first there's mindfulness that places us in the present moment. Then there's investigation, in a sense, or exploration or discovery that helps us to see all the choices we have in the moment. When you see the green light or the red light ahead as you drive, you see, oh, there's a choice here. And then there's the effort factor of awakening, which something inside of you with time, almost, it doesn't have to be a lot of reflection and planning and calculating and bringing up the calculus of stress and freedom. But it just feels like, oh, that's the natural thing to do. That's the easeful way. That's where the doors are open. That's where freedom is found. And of course we choose that. And so the choice becomes more and more effortless, more and more delight and joyful. And my hope for all of you is that if you do this, a day will come that the word effort just brings you a big smile. And you say, oh, I'm so lucky to be able to make effort. Wow, this effort thing is fantastic. Wouldn't that be great? And along the way, what's happening is you're beginning to manifest your freedom, your ability to be free. To simply choose to be mindful is an expression of freedom. To choose to discover, to look more carefully, to investigate, is an engagement of your freedom. To make your choice is an engagement, enactment of freedom. And that's very different than being the victim of our experience or being carry the burden of the weight of the world on our shoulders. And everything's so hard and uphill. We're being impacted. We're being piles and piles of responsibility where there's no freedom. But to choose freedom over and over again is not a second nature for many people. But this is what we're working with and how we're setting ourselves free in the big sense as well by all these small movements of manifesting our freedom in mindfulness, investigation, and choices we make. So thank you, and I look forward to continuing this series.